Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Welcome back. Anya Kerr here, sitting in for Claire. Now, as the war in Ukraine grinds on and US support is undermined by the prospect of a Trump-Vance victory in November, questions now arise. Should Ireland follow Sweden and Finland in increasing our military spending and joining NATO, or has the time come for Ukraine and Russia to negotiate a peace deal? Some of those questions we're going to discuss now with our next guest, retired US Army Lieutenant Colonel and former Director for European Affairs on the White House's National Security Council during Donald Trump's first term, and he later testified at Trump's impeachment. Dr. Alexander Finman, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. You're speaking this lunchtime at the Institute of International and European Affairs in Dublin. Can we start with your assessment first of the ongoing war in Ukraine? Are we at a stalemate? Does Russia have the upper hand? Can Ukraine, with increased investment now coming from the US, accelerate its efforts?
So we're about 2.5 years into this war. We've seen ups and downs. There was a high degree of certainty that Russia would be able to win quite quickly in the opening phase. The Ukrainians defended effectively and kicked Russia out of large swaths of the territory to the north and to the east. Then attempted to launch in the second year of war their own offensive, which floundered. We're now in a phase in which the Russians are trying to make some incremental gains. We're far from a stalemate scenario. It's a phase of war called attritional warfare, where the Russians are looking to grind down the Ukrainian armed forces and having some success, but not sufficient success to really drive the Ukrainians to negotiate. And this is likely to play out through the next several months. We'll then have a bit of a lull, and this war will continue on through next year, in which there's an opportunity for either the Russians to attack or the Ukrainians to attack.
So this period of attritional warfare, and when you talk about a potential lull and then maybe different momentum coming in the new year, how much are you factoring in there in that forecast, US elections and a potential change in the presidency? If it is a Trump take to, what might that mean for the state of play between Ukraine and Russia?
So I would describe the outcome in the US elections as critical, but won't be will not determine a quick outcome. So, for instance, if Trump were to come in, there is no possibility of the war ending quickly, either by Trump's own desires to end it. That's not going to happen. He was the president during 4 years of war between 2016 and 20 was ineffective in bringing it to a halt. And it won't really change. It won't end if you have a Harris administration, even with some additional aid coming in. So what I'm saying is that the U.S. outcome is either going to be more of a headwind if it's a Trump administration, or a tailwind if it's a Harris administration.
But surely if the Trump administration were to maybe withdraw support financially and in terms of standing with Ukraine, would there be a potential for a spillover of violence in Europe? Could you see a spillover in places like China, Taiwan? Like, it could have these unintended or intended consequences.
Far-reaching consequences from a second Trump administration. In the local Russia-Ukraine sphere, you would have a motivated, morale-boosted Russian military, Putin thinking that he could just press on a little bit harder to put pressure on Ukraine to capitulate, because that's what the terms are for the Russian side. Ukraine unrelenting, continuing to defend as best as it can, absent U.S. support, but still with an increasing level of support from NATO and the EU, enough to keep the Ukrainians going for easily 6 months, a year, maybe longer. There were periods of time where the Ukrainians were fighting alone in the first 4 months of the war. In the 8 or 9 months between September of 23 and April of 24, when the U.S. passed the $62 billion aid package. So the Ukrainians are used to pursuing it alone. But I think what you would have with a second Trump administration is a U.S. withdrawing support, not just from Ukraine, but from NATO as a whole. And the EU realizing, correction, NATO realizing that in order to keep Ukraine in the fight, they might need to put their own forces on the ground. And this is a recipe for spillover. What you'll hear from the European leadership, Eastern European leadership, is that they would rather fight Russia on Ukrainian territory than their own. Absent the U.S., there would be a higher sense of urgency in bolstering the Ukrainians with whatever resources they have, less on the material side, more on the manpower side. And that's a recipe for spillover, because then the Russians would have to contend with the decision of, well, the U.S. is not the backbone of NATO. Should we exploit this opportunity and look to fracture NATO? And then you mentioned China, too, for that matter.
And so you're articulating there all of real and present potential dangers if there is a second act from Donald Trump in terms of global affairs and geopolitics. You've worked in the White House. You worked with Trump. What did you witness with Trump in that first term that had you change your mind, go and testify against the president,
so
Trump?
I was in the layer of the White House that was not political. I was a career military officer on detail, on loan from the Department of Defense, with a completely nonpartisan role in my layer. Immediately above that layer is a political layer. Those folks catered to the president's political interests. My sole concern was U.S. national security, advancing U.S. national security interests and abiding by our laws and the U.S. Constitution. In the first year of my existence in the National Security Council, actually, I had wide latitude to forward a strategy that I had written for the Pentagon on how to counter Russian aggression. The president was generally disinterested in foreign policy. He was far more transactional.
So but he didn't read your documentations, your briefings?
Not so much. I mean, even in kind of when we put it in the most basic, you know, half a dozen word bullets on what the president should know about a situation, he was generally disinterested. The reason that I was drawn into the political fray in the U.S. is entirely around the president's efforts to steal the 2020 election. He recognized that there was an opportunity to extort an investigation from the Ukrainian president, President Zelensky, and use that as a means to tip the scales in his favor in the 2020 election. Astute kind of predator-like behavior, but also I recognized the vulnerabilities of Biden being the leading candidate and did whatever he thought he needed to win. And that carried through the insurrection on January 6th also. There's a consistent pattern of President Trump, scoffing at laws and doing whatever it was required for him to advance his own personal interest.
Because it is extraordinary to imagine all of the efforts that go to open up those diplomatic channels and those channels then to be used, as you described there, instead to get information on Zelensky. Because if we look to potentially ending this war between Ukraine and Russia, whether it's a Kamala Harris presidency or a Donald Trump presidency, someone will at some point have to find an off-ramp, would imagine, for Putin. Do you think that is possible given the state of U.S. diplomatic relations? Can a Harris pull it off? Can a Trump pull it off, that there's an off-ramp?
Yeah, so there's, I think the much better prospects are under a Harris administration. The reason is that for Trump, I think positions would be more entrenched. The Ukrainians would continue to fight on with EU support and NATO support. It's an existential crisis for them. So there's until it's clear that they were going to lose, they would not relent. With a Harris administration, you could actually adopt a strategy, and it's something that I've written about. It's a hold strategy. The Ukrainians have to hold back the Russians this year. It's a build strategy. They need to mobilize additional resources internally and externally. That means Western support, NATO support. But they also have to mobilize their own industrial base and bring in manpower, maybe 300,000 troops. And then they could strike out next year with all these resources together, with a better trained force, to put military pressure on Putin to negotiate. So between the tailwind of a Harris presidency, four more years of U.S. stalwart support as the backbone for NATO, and some military successes, significant military successes in one or two directions, that would change the dynamic for Putin to then look for off-ramps. there is no such off-ramp. There is no theory of victory, at least no clear theory of victory with a Trump administration.
Okay, well, thank you for that analysis, Dr. Alexander Vindman, former EU Director of US National Security. We'll be back after these.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.